Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Monday, live in Los Angeles. The show's called The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. What a show today. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Just going to let the music play behind me. It's a symphony harmonizing what was a great weekend. Joy Taylor's joining me. Joy, you know I love Tom Brady.
You do. That was quite a night for him.
Let the music play. It's like an orchestra, a performance yesterday.
In an ode to winning the divorce.
Oh, my God. So, Breeze looked old. Big Ben looked old. Phillip Rivers looked old. Tom Brady yesterday just looked great. And it was great because there were times yesterday I thought Tom was throwing the ball too hard on some of those in routes for his receivers. I think that's probably top five Tom Brady moment for me. Forget the fact he was on the road. Forget the fact the Saints, I believe, have the best roster in the NFL. Forget the fact it's a top five defense. Yesterday went from Tom Brady won the divorce to, God, New England made a huge, huge mistake. I don't want to hear about his weapons. Antonio Brown got hurt. Mike Evans, ineffective. Chris Godwin played poorly. Gronk, non-factor. I don't want to hear about weapons. And by the way, nobody thinks Brady had the better coach yesterday. That, my friends, was a master's class on how to win a playoff game when not everything goes well. Wisdom and leadership and moxie and intelligence and efficiency. You know, it's funny. There's always those bumper stickers. You ever seen those bumper stickers? You mean people stink. And I always think, so do people with low standards. Tom Brady yells at teammates. Tom Brady can be rough. Tom Brady barks at coaches. Tom Brady, I've heard, is rough at practice. Do it again. Let's go. Line up. Do it again. Let's go. And yesterday is the payday for that. Sometimes people are viewed as mean when all they're doing is holding you to a standard you're certainly capable of reaching, but nobody's ever demanded you reach that standard. Yesterday, Tom didn't have the system. He didn't have Belichick. He didn't have the Foxborough weather. He didn't have the better defense. No, not really. He just had Tom. 43 years of Tom Brady. That's all he had. And you know what I mean? If you'd have said before the game, all right, so Brady's going to go and play the Saints for a third time. Mike Evans, AB, Chris Godwin, and Gronk are going to combine for 7 catches. You would have said, oh my God, this is a disaster. Instead, they won going away. We've gone past the Brady won the divorce. This is New England made a huge mistake. Rivers looked old. Ben looked old. Breeze looked old. Tom looked great. Honestly, I don't know what it is. I don't know if he goes to Europe. I don't know what he's taken. Maybe it's the supermodel wife. I have no idea. Maybe it's avocado ice cream. But Drew Brees struggling perfectly framed how amazing Brady is. This feels very much like LeBron and D-Wade. Where at the end, D-Wade's a Hall of Famer with great integrity, but he's coming off the bench and he's not very dynamic. And LeBron's still the best player in the game. What? How's that possible? It's not really. Maybe LeBron eats avocado ice cream for breakfast too. Breeze is still really good, but Breeze is how you age when you get to 40. That's what you look like. That's what you look like. Can't throw the deep ball. Just don't have that zip on the sideline passes. That was as impressive as I've ever seen. I don't want to hear about Belichick. I don't want to hear about the weapons. I don't want to hear about the system. Remember all those articles that came out about a year and a half ago with Tom? Anonymous sources. We could have won with a lot of quarterbacks here. Yeah, I saw Cam. It wasn't great. And Cam's not untalented. And by the way, Jameis is not untalented. Jameis is really talented. In New Orleans, he's the guy that can throw the ball, you know, deep and stuff. 7-9 to 13-5. Maybe 14-5. Maybe 15-5. Tom afterwards.
Defense was incredible all game. The turnovers were huge. You know, last time we played them, we gave, you know, we lost a turnover, minus three. Today was plus four. You're not going to lose many games when you're plus four. So just a great effort. They came up huge offensively, made some plays when we needed to. Running game was great. Line protected great up front. Just a great week of prep. And, you know, really proud of our team and everything we put in to get to this point.
You know, Brady's never been great in the first quarter of any Super Bowl. He's a boxer. He feels the game out. But he's had some unbelievable second halves. And that is truly what separates good from great and great from legend. Tampa trailed third quarter on the road against a better roster by seven. Brady's last four drives, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, ran out the clock. That's as good as you can quarterback. I mean, that was a master's class yesterday. All right, so the Cleveland Browns are gone. Head up, though. Baker Mayfield only had one first down last 8 minutes. Not great. But you know what? The reality is Cleveland's going to be around. Cleveland played their butt off. Cleveland finally has the right coach. And Baker, when he has the right coach, can be pretty effective. Good for them. But let's be totally honest about what we saw Kansas City, Cleveland. When Patrick Mahomes left, he was 21 of 30, a touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and 107 passer rating. That's on a bad foot. Hobbled for two quarters, didn't play for a quarter and a half, and Kansas City won. And when Mahomes got the ball, let me read you what happened to every drive. Touchdown, touchdown, field goal, miss field goal, in position for a field goal. They scored on every drive they engineered with Mahomes. I mean, it really was Kevin Durant and Steph and the Warriors. Like, they just have figured the game out. It is just easier. Travis Kelce and Cleveland knew he was their first target. 8 catches, 109 yards. They were powerless. Tyreek Hill, oh, we've got to double him. 8 catches, 109 yards. Powerless. It didn't matter that Cleveland knew who they were going to throw to. They still went to him for 16 combined catches. And I look at this game, I kind of look at this game two ways, or in two parts. Here's the first part, and this is really how I see the game. Kansas City led 19-10. Mahomes is driving and gets hurt. He was going to set him up for at least a field goal, maybe a touchdown. But if their kicker could have made a PAT and an easy field goal, it would have been, what, 23-10. Mahomes leads a touchdown. It's 30-10, and it's over. And I'm not making excuses. There was a call that didn't go Cleveland's way. But what I saw was a quarterback that didn't play for 3 weeks, came in with a hobbled foot very early, had to leave early, and it didn't affect anything. They still won the football game. Kansas City, for the first time in about a month and a half, maybe they are better than Buffalo. To not be able to have your star quarterback who's rusty coming in, playing a hobbled foot, and then leave, and you win with Chad Henne. I mean, I had my doubts they could flip a switch. And it's nothing against what Cleveland did. But Kansas City's defense, when they had to be great, was, and they won with Chad Henne. Those first 7-8 drives by Mahomes, it was insane. It's like he had the answers to the test. He wasn't getting sacked. He wasn't really getting hurried. He was moving out of the pocket. Sometimes, I said this when Katie and Steph, there were times I felt they were bored. There were times I thought Katie and Steph were literally struggling to convince themselves, we got a game tonight, folks. It starts in 8 minutes. Those first 7-8 drives, wow. it should not be that easy because Cleveland's got a lot of ballers and they got a lot of big contracts. They got a lot of players and Myles Garrett's unbelievable and they got talented guys in the back end. But I don't see that as a close game. I see that as an injury, a hobbled foot, and a concussion away from being way too easy for a team that, had a quarterback that hadn't played in 20 days. Really impressive stuff by Kansas City. 21 of 30 was Mahomes, 250 yards, 107 passer rating, rarely hurried, didn't play for 3 weeks. That's not what it's supposed to look like. That is not what it's supposed to look like. And they, Cleveland was powerless to stop Travis Kelce, powerless to stop Tyreek Hill. I mean, everybody today is like, Cleveland, great job. Yeah, that's fine. But if Mahomes doesn't get a banged up foot and Mahomes stays in, that thing was getting out of hand. I don't want to hear about a call. That thing had a chance to get out of hand.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Green Bay, you know, it's funny. We have four teams left. Green Bay looks fairly flawless. Tampa's special teams aren't good. The Chiefs' run defense is really average. The Buffalo Bills' run offense is non-existent outside of Josh Allen. You don't have to be perfect to get here. We've said it. Do you have great people who can overcome obstacles and weaknesses? You don't have to be a perfect team. Green Bay looks pretty perfect. At this point, Green Bay does everything well. To me, they should be favored to win the Super Bowl. They look like the best team. And, you know, so much for the Rams' defense. Green Bay had 28 first downs, 500 yards, 36 minutes time of possession, and one quarterback hit all day. It was the only game all weekend I felt strongly about and put money on was Green Bay. Plus, the Rams came in a little beat up. Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, Cooper Kupp. My number one thought the whole game was, not that Aaron Rodgers is great, because he is, but my number one thought was, God, this makes Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Cowboys, look awful. Aaron Rodgers didn't suddenly get this talented. He's 28-7, 9 blowouts this year. I mean, there's a reason all these young coaches like Matt LaFleur are getting jobs. 71% of plays for Green Bay, somebody was in motion. It was just constantly fluctuating, different looks, different sets, different motions to confuse the defense and make them ad-lib on the fly against the hottest quarterback in football. Mike McCarthy, former Green Bay coach with Aaron Rodgers, those offenses are static. Nobody's moving. There's a Matt LaFleur. Most people don't evolve. It's the reality is most people get to 50, 55. They have their retirement set up, 60. They kind of get content. Andy Reid is a spectacular exception. He coaches like a 24-year-old. He's taking wild, big swings, and that's why everybody loves Andy Reid. But most people get content, and they don't evolve. And they get to be 55 or 60. And there's a young person in their industry right behind him who is smarter, techier, and will take bigger risks. So there's a Matt LaFleur, coach of the Packers. There's a Matt LaFleur in every industry. And if you get lazy, sloppy, and don't evolve, he's going to take your job. Green Bay had all these offensive weapons 2 years ago. They had Devontae Adams 2 years ago. They had Aaron Jones. They had this offensive line. Green Bay had all these weapons 2 years ago. They didn't look like that. Now, the defense in the last couple of years, fairness to Mike McCarthy, they have upgraded through the draft and free agency on the defensive side. That I'm not blaming McCarthy for that. But this is going to be the third straight year if Green Bay beats Tampa. My guess this morning, without diving deep, they will. Third straight year, a young NFC coach goes to the Super Bowl. And too often we glamorize yesterday and romanticize yesterday and talk about yesterday. Matt LaFleur is tomorrow. He's tomorrow. Everybody talk, oh, defense wins championships. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. The four best quarterbacks all year are the four left. Defense doesn't win championships. Kansas City can't stop the run. I mean, that used to be, you can't advance. You're not a playoff team. Can't stop the run. They couldn't stop the run this weekend for long stretches. And by the way, the offensive ranks for total points scored in the NFL as of this morning. Green Bay 1, Buffalo 2, Tampa 3, and Kansas City 6. Defense wins championships is yesterday. Buffalo is here, and they can't run the football. Kansas City is here, and they can't stop the run. And Tampa's here, and their special teams are bad. So I kept looking at it. I'm like, this is why all these young guys are getting jobs. Joe Judge and Zach Taylor and Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur and this Brandon Staley. The Chargers just got – the reason teams are going young is because too many old football coaches are glamorizing, romanticizing, and talking about yesterday. Matt LaFleur's tomorrow because they had all these weapons 2 years ago, and this offense didn't look anything like this. I mean, he's literally Aaron smiling and grinning. He's talking. It looks like football during Thanksgiving with your less talented family members. Here's Aaron afterwards.
Just kind of hear that MVP chant. It's just something. It was just something special in those moments. And tonight I was just feeling what that felt like, just how sweet and special that chant is. I've heard it, you know, a few times over the years, but every time it kind of gets you, it's really, really special.
I'll tell you this, sports can clearly be activated and played without fans. God, did I miss fans. I know there was only like 9,000 or 12,000 in Kansas City, in Buffalo, in your Green Bay. Wow. Did I miss fans? It looked like it discombobulated Baltimore deep that time they got deep into their territory. It's like 8,000 people banging on the chairs in Buffalo. It looked like it just unraveled the Ravens. They hadn't heard anything all year. But never forget how valuable fans are. Boy, this week in the NFL proved that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So let's talk Buffalo and Baltimore. So let's talk Buffalo's offense first. It wasn't pretty. They had only 17 first downs. They have no running game. They weren't very good on third down, and they got blasted on time of possession. Josh Allen, not special. I mean, he was effective, and they won. The game was more, and this is the talking point, what do you do with Lamar Jackson? Lamar's passer rating's in the 60s. They averaged 30 points a game with Lamar in the regular season, and now four playoff games, they averaged 13. So let's just address it. It's the first four straight playoff game. You're like, it's not working. All right. First of all, there's a lot of stars. And I'm not talking good players. I'm not talking average players. There's a lot of stars in sports where the postseason doesn't work for them. Giannis, Westbrook, Harden, Lamar so far. Now let's take James Harden. There's a reason for it. James Harden's game's based on the whistle. He's bumping. He needs the whistle. In the regular season, refs give you the whistle. It's a long season. They don't want players hurt. They're really tough on physicality. And then the playoffs happen, and the refs swallow the whistle. It's not a boys' game. It's a man's game in the playoffs. No more kids. No more rookies. Last year, the bubble was an exception. They let the guys play. What happens? James Harden doesn't get the whistle, and his game is dependent on the whistle. He's never going to – that game he plays will always have issues in the postseason. Do you give up on him? No, Houston kept adding elements to try to make it work. You don't give up on him. There's no other James Harden out there. You don't give up on Harden. Giannis's game, I think, gets marginalized in the postseason. We've seen this with baseball. A-Rod was never quite, some of the home run hitters are not quite as effective postseason facing the best pitchers where managers tend to go to the bullpen more often. It's more situational. The big home run hitters don't dominate the postseason like the regular season. So what do you do with Lamar? You sell him? You move off him? You trade him? Well, time out. Phillip Rivers is going to get Hall of Fame votes. The Chargers from day one. Phillip wasn't a high school basketball star, a baseball star. He was a football guy. He was never athletic. He wasn't athletic when he was 18. He was just a quarterback. And they just kept trying to add things to Phillip Rivers, who never won a Super Bowl. Frankly, didn't get very close. But he was good. Certain athletes have these dynamic qualities. With Phillip Rivers, it was leadership. He threw a lot of bad picks. The most unathletic quarterback. I mean, seriously. I mean, Eli Manning makes him look like Usain Bolt, okay? But you just find ways when you get a leader and you're winning 75-80% of your games, you figure out a way to make it work. I'll give you an example. Baltimore didn't have very good receivers. Let's start there. Of the four remaining teams, go look at Green Bay's receivers and Buffalo's and Kansas City's and Tampa's. Go look at Lamar Jackson's. Now, I don't think he's going to be Mahomes, but let's start there. That's the weakness of their team. They're very average at wide receiver. So you add a wide receiver or three in the draft because they're pretty good everywhere else. They don't have a lot of holes. So let's start there. But this idea that, listen, this is the way it works. Derek Jeter was the exception. He was as good, often better in the playoffs than regular season. His game fit. He wasn't a big power hitter. It wasn't about doing something special here or there. Derek's consistency, his playmaking ability in the field, especially early in his career, it transcended time. It transcended series. It was just the same every day. And that's okay. The reality is there's very few Aaron Rodgers. And for the record, had Aaron lost this past weekend, he would have been 10-9 in the playoffs. Okay, it's hard. It's hard to win in the playoffs. You're facing the best defenses, the best coaches, the best coordinators. But we've seen this in a lot of sports. Some guys win a lot of golf tournaments. They don't win majors. Some guys are great in the regular season. They can't get people out in the postseason. Lamar is a very talented guy. Shaq couldn't hit a free throw. You figure a way around it because there's no more Shaqs on the market. And Lamar's winning you a lot of games. He can win the division. He proved last weekend he can win a playoff game. But he's not a classic pocket thrower. So you figure ways to work around it. And maybe eventually you move off it. But, I mean, the Rockets and James Harden, to me, is a very similar comp. They give him Chris Paul. They give him Dwight Howard. They give him the small. They give him Westbrook. They tried. They didn't give up on him because there's no other James Harden's on the market. I don't know if Lamar can win a Super Bowl. I mean, this folks, Chad Henne may play next weekend in the AFC Championship. If Lamar was going up against Chad Henne, I'd like his chances. So, but I think there are challenges. Let's start, if we can, elevating Baltimore's very average wide receiving core in an era where weapons are now like standard. Like you can't win without them. He doesn't have very good weapons. So let's start there.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Here we go. Colin right, Colin wrong.
Where Colin was right.
We've been a huge fan of Andy Reid for years. The Eagles are a bigger mess every year he's not there. He is now the only coach in NFL history to host three straight AFC championships, and he's done it in both conferences. The adapter, one of the most likable guys. I thought yesterday it wasn't irony or a coincidence. His best play call of the year is when Patrick Mahomes got hurt. That Chad Henne play is the call of the year in the NFL, and only Andy Reid would say, yeah, I'm going to get Chad Henne, and I'm going to roll the dice. By the way, that wasn't the only play. Like, they threw the ball probably more than 99% of the coaches would with Mahomes out. A lot of guys would have killed the clock and run the ball. They were having some marginal success running the ball, but the easiest guy in the league to root for, maybe Andy Reid. Love him.
Where Colin was wrong.
Baker Mayfield. I always thought he could play. My question day one, college, was maturity. Last year he was calling out the medical staff. Last year he was getting in arguments with, like, me and the media on Twitter and Instagram. But actually he grew up this year. He was poised. He was calm. He was a grown-up. You know, now he's like Aaron Rodgers. He kind of winks at the media as he pokes him in the ribs. But I really thought he came a long way as an adult, mature, runs the offense. And that's hard. By the way, that may be harder than the physical stuff, is owning up to, hey, I got to grow up a little bit. I thought he did. He finally has a legitimate coach. And believe it or not, folks, I root for Baker. I don't root against any of these guys. Bad quarterback play is the gates of hell to me. There's nothing worse than watching a football game with bad quarterback play. I want all these guys to work. All of them.
Where Colin was right.
Yeah, Brady won the divorce, which we thought, but it is now, like, embarrassing. Tom Brady has 44 touchdown passes. The Patriot quarterbacks have 10. I thought he was sensational yesterday. Gronk wasn't big. Mike Evans got mostly covered except that catch. Chris Godwin struggled. I thought just wasn't tight. Antonio Brown got hurt. Cameron Brate was a leading receiver. By the way, all these leaks in the media. We could have won with multiple quarterbacks here in New England. If I had to read that again. Yeah, maybe Aaron Rodgers. That's about it.
where Colin was wrong.
Well, Lamar Jackson did unravel yesterday. He struggled 14 for 24 and just wasn't a good afternoon for him. Listen, four playoff games, they've averaged 13 points. 3 points in a playoff game, pick six, seam rattle, couldn't beat Buffalo with his arm. Now, again, Buffalo got good players. But, yeah, I think the reality is let's upgrade his wide receiving core. He did get to the playoffs and win a playoff game. And he beat the Browns twice this year. This is a guy that can play. He beat the Colts this year. He's won a lot of games in the NFL. But I did think he unraveled this weekend, got a little ahead of himself. It felt like all weekend long he was throwing on third and nine. It just felt like, and you cannot go on the road in the NFL in the playoffs with an average receiving core and be third and 12 and third and 11 and third and nine. You're just not going to win that game. You're just not, you know, one of the things Brady got yesterday was actually, he got a good running game. He had actually support from his running backs. It's amazing how good quarterbacks look on third and three and not third and 11.
Where Colin was right.
We've been on the Buffalo train for about 7-8 weeks. They're a Hail Mary away from a 12-game winning streak. We were also on the Sean McDermott train to start the year. I think McDermott, he's like the Kyle Shanahan of defense. Nobody talks about Buffalo. We talk about the 49ers more. This is a flawed team. They can't run the ball. The Colts ran on them. They got a young quarterback. They got to upgrade the defensive line. They don't get much of a pass rush. This is not a perfect football team. It is not. Before Stephon Diggs, they didn't throw the ball deep. This is a really well-coached team that has elevated a spectacular young quarterback, acquired a gifted wide receiver, and has a couple of DBs I really like. But don't. If all the roster's remaining, I could make the argument this is the weakest one. Sean McDermott's a great coach.
Where Colin was right.
Three Miami Dolphin players told anonymously the Miami Herald they weren't in on Tua and they didn't like benching Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they think Fitzpatrick's the better player. Again, my question, the weekend, I think the Friday before Tua started, I said, I know he's accurate. I know he's a good kid. I know he's coachable. Where's the juice? Where's the special? I'm seeing it with Burrow. I'm seeing it with Josh Allen. I see it with Mahomes. I see it with Lamar. See it with Herbert. I don't see it with him. And Miami players now telling the Miami Herald, they're seeing what we're questioning. Where's the special?
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought Patrick Mahomes was going to be rusty at least early in the game. Good Lord, he came out. He was 8-9, passing touchdown, rushing touchdown. He just made it look so easy. And again, they got Myles Garrett. It's not like there's not some pass rush. I thought he made it look so effortless. He was so comfortable. He was so poised. I thought, really, had I bet this game and I didn't, I would have bet Cleveland first quarter. I thought he was going to come out and really, I mean, he did last year. Took week 17 off, didn't play well in December, and that was Thanksgiving football with the relatives. I thought he just made it look football without a sweat.
Where Colin was right.
I have predicted Kyrie Irving is drama. Yes, he's talented, but six games in, he disappeared and didn't tell anybody where he was, including his coach. Now, he also forced the Brooklyn Nets to trade for an insurance policy. So you've already got drama. They've already traded for an insurance policy. I think Harden and Kevin Durant will win a bunch of games. They had a really good game this week. I didn't watch it, but I read about it. That I don't worry about. But in the end, there was a lot of stories out of Boston that weren't reported. There was a lot of issues there. He is really, really hard to coach. And that has always been the one thing that punctures elite talent.
Where Colin was right.
My insipid quarterback face bracket went 4-for-4. I'm now 8-2 overall, where I simply choose the games based on who's the better quarterback. Not your coach, not your defense, not your special teams, not where the game is. I choose who's playing better quarterback now. So I have chosen Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady. 8-2 overall. 4-for-4 this weekend. And I made a mistake. Baker was playing better than Big Ben, and I gave it to Big Ben. I should be 9-1. I don't even know why I did that. That was dumb. That was almost as dumb as the quarterback face bracket itself.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He was 5-1 in his 6 career playoff games, 15 years in the league, and has a Super Bowl trophy. Trent Dilfer now joining us live. Listen, I watched Drew Brees yesterday, and I said, you know, that's how you age if you don't eat avocado ice cream 9 times a day like Brady. You look like Brees. You look like you just the ball on the outs doesn't quite get there. You know, you had a last game or two. Like, I looked at Drew, and I thought, it's time. It kind of feels like it's time. Did you see that?
Well, I think all year long we've kind of noticed that, and a lot of it's reflected in Sean Payton's play calling. That was an offense that kind of felt like they were stuck in a hotel bedroom bed where the sheets are tied down underneath the bed, and you kind of feel all tight in there until you bust out the sheets.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what the offense looked like. Nothing was spread out. Nothing was fluid. Nothing was vertical, and everything they were doing is kind of playing in this tight little box. And Tampa had a lot to do with that, how they play defense, but it just seemed like he didn't have a lot of confidence in calling kind of a wide open offense and getting all his playmakers involved. So, yeah, I think it's time. And it's not a knock on Drew Brees, one of the greatest that's ever put on cleats at any position. To get this team this far at this age, I think is quite the accomplishment. But, yeah, yesterday with all the eyeballs watching it with a defense that said, hey, we're not scared of you. We're going to make you play in this hotel bed with the sheets tight on you. You could really see how his skills have diminished over the years.
I was kind of blown away by Brady. Antonio Brown hurt. Mike Evans minimized. I didn't think Chris Godwin was all buttoned up. Gronk was not terribly effective. It wasn't a weapons thing. Many would believe he had the second best coach going into that game. I was kind of blown away by his resourcefulness yesterday. Your thoughts?
That's a good word. I'd use patience too, wisdom, discernment, all the things that aren't real glamorous parts about playing the position. I can't think of a ball he forced. When he missed away from the defense. You think of those couple throws down the sideline or corner shots to Gronkowski.
Yeah.
He misses away. He misses low in the middle of the field when Godwin runs the bad crossing route. Like his misses were really good. He wasn't forcing the issue. He played the long game. He never panicked. And obviously he got some great help from a defense that played phenomenal and got the ball back for him. But there was never, and I think Chris mentioned it during the game, like don't expect Tom Brady to force the issue and try to make more of it than there is. Like, he's going to take what the defense gave him. And I thought he was, what were they, 1-for-5 on vertical attempts.
Yeah.
But again, the misses were educated misses. So he played like a champion in a tough game. I would say this, he's the master of knowing what the game calls for. Right? We say framing the game. Every game has its own frame. It's its own picture. It's different. And he can adjust to that early in the game and not play outside of the temperament of the game, and that's what he did last night.
I think Mahomes, I woke up this morning and I thought, Kansas City won. Mahomes didn't play for the last quarter, and you've played on a bad foot. He couldn't push off. And I'm like, I thought he was going to come out a little rusty. His first 6-7 drives, touchdown, field goal, miss field goal, touchdown. I thought Mahomes, I mean, maybe he didn't have the dazzlers, but I was kind of a little blown away by him. I thought he was incredibly effective bouncing around on a bad foot.
I did too. And I mean, it goes back to what we said a couple weeks ago, I think. Like, their floor is so much higher than everybody else's. They don't have to play great. They don't even have to play great in a series. Like, you'll see them score in a series where they'll have 2, 3, 4 stinker plays, but they can overcome them. Like, they're so explosive. They're so diverse in what they do offensively. They have so many ways of coming at you that they can kind of sputter around and lollygag around and mess up. And then, boom, they get 14 yards. Oh, they get 18. Oh, -3, +1, +12. And it doesn't even look right. But their floor is just so much higher than everybody else's. It's almost an unfair fight. I thought the Browns were impressive, earned my respect. I know they're in your respect. They played hard. They did a lot of good things. And they never really had a chance. I mean, people talk about the brilliant fourth down call. Who's to say the Browns are going to score if they punt there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like we're assuming the Browns are going to go on this miraculous drive when they hadn't done anything the two previous drives and score. Kansas City, they don't even have to play well, and they still beat good teams.
Yeah, not only not play well, but have their star quarterback out for a quarter and a half. You know, yeah. Andy Reid, I thought he had a lot of guts. A lot of guys would go to their backup, and they would just run the ball. And it was like,
I would have.
Listen, there were a couple times they were throwing. I mean, Tony Romo was a riot. Tony's like, look at the body language. They're not running a play here. And they did it. Tony was like aghast, like the rest of us were. The Henny call. I was like, that takes a lot of guts, Trent. That most coaches won't do that.
I think this is where Andy Reid, his staff, you got to give his whole staff a lot of credit, because I know he delegates a lot to Bieniemy and the other offensive coaches on that staff. I think they beat people Monday through Saturday. You know, I remember as a player, I now know as a coach how hard it is to prepare, how many rabbit holes you can go down, how much extra thinking you can do to give your team an advantage on game day. And they do all of that better than anybody else. The fact that they're going to run sprint right option in the most critical moment, it's probably in bold letters and red outline on the call sheet. And they did it against Miami a few weeks ago. But this week, they're going to say, okay, if we're going to run this play, what's the most creative way we could run it in a must-have situation, game-of-the-line situation? Oh, we can empty the backfield to get the man zone declaration, and then we can kind of get the offensive lineman to sit up a little bit higher and have bad body language by the three receivers, so it looks like we're going to triple count this and try to get him to jump. And then we'll notice the back when he comes back in from – empty formation backfield. He's kind of lazy,
yeah.
Standing up straight.
Yes.
But they planned this Monday through Saturday. So it's no surprise that on Sunday evening, when it has to work in the biggest moment of their season, they've gone through all the mental gymnastics. They've crossed every T, dotted every I on the whys and the hows of the play to create an advantage. And yes, they have a freak athlete, the number three receiver, is going to run the jab step out, and yeah, they're going to get protected right, but it's all the thought that goes into it. Like I said, Monday through Saturday, that's where they're beating people.
Yeah, I thought it's a really good point, and that's what fooled Romo and it fooled me, which is they practice the body language. They literally look like they weren't doing it, and you're like, oh, it's a tell, like a poker player, that's a tell, and they went on the play, and Romo got fooled. I got fooled. I listened to Tony. I'm like, no, Tony's right, they're not running a play. Boom, they ran it. Now,
well,
go ahead.
I'll give you another example of teams that are good at this. Like, I saw this a couple times over the last couple weekends. Everybody runs quarterback sneak in short yard situations, right?
Yep.
So what did the defense do? They get those two eye techniques deep down. They reduce everybody. Those linebackers run up tight, and sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. But now you're seeing teams shift, motion, look out, hand signal the receiver, like do all this window dressing, just a quarterback sneak. So to create an intent different than what you're actually going to do to get 1 yard, that's the NFL, and that's where Andy Reid and the staff just do a better job than anybody else. When you need that 1 yard, what intent do you show the defense, and then what do you do outside of the intent?
You know, I think it's interesting. 71% of the plays for the Packers had motion. Mm-hmm. And I said, I watched that game, and I reflected back to Mike McCarthy, who runs a much more static offense. But I'm watching Green Bay. It's multiple sets. Everybody's in motion. They had all these offensive guys 2 years ago. They had all these pieces. It's almost like LaFleur came in, and they probably had some uncomfortable moments. He's like, no. We're gonna make your brain work overtime here. And I watched them, and they're hard to defend, Trent. They're making corners, make snap decisions, fast motions. I don't know if there's a defense. They tore the Rams apart. I'm not sure how you stop Green Bay. How do you do it?
It's going to be tough. You know, so much what they do is based off their action game under LaFleur. I think number one, you got to stop the run. You can't let them run the football, because once they start running the football, and the whole entire menu is open for the Packers, and that menu is pretty robust with the shifts and motions and window dressing, and a lot of what they do is they're creating leverage with their motion. So you can't do a lot of that stuff if you're in the drop back pass mode. You almost want to reduce Green Bay back to what they once were, and that's four wide receivers, shotgun, quick passing game. And I know people are going, oh, you're crazy. That means Aaron's going to throw it more. But they're not nearly as effective when they're in the drop back pass mode. They are so dangerous in the action mode. They're so dangerous when they can condense those splits, get those receivers up on safeties and linebackers, and then activate them in the pass game in action. That's where they get their home run shots. They're so dangerous when they can change the launch point and get those receivers crossing from condensed splits. But if you stop their run game and you say, you know what, you're going to have to throw it 55 times today, Aaron, I think you have a fighting chance. But you can't stop them if they're balanced.
You know, I love the Bills all year, but I will be honest about this. The last 2 weeks, I've seen a lot of flaws. They don't have a run game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's non-existent. Mm-hmm. And then against the Colts, I'm like, they don't really have a pass rush if you have a decent offensive line. And here we are. They're in the AFC Championship in a field goal game with Kansas City. But I think to myself, are they too reliant on Josh Allen? Am I nitpicking because I'm seeing so much of them? But the more I see of them, I'm like, wow, that is a flawed team that keeps winning games. What do you see with the Bills?
You know, they're one of the four best teams in the NFL. I think most of our eyeballs saw that, especially the second half of the season. But now it's these four trying to be the very best. I don't think with this formula they can be the very best. Yeah. I don't think they can finish the race depending so much on one player, one formula offensively. And that's not saying anything bad about them. It's just they're not quite there.
That's right.
The Packers, the Chiefs, I would say even the Bucks now after they kind of reformatted who they were after that shellacking in week 9 against the Saints. These teams have everything you need offensively to finish the race. Buffalo, you're going to have to run the football. You can't put so much on the quarterback. I agree. Now, I will say this defensively. They're so creative defensively that they're huge in critical downs. But, yeah, you sit back and you're like, huh, I don't think there's ever been a team that's won a Super Bowl being this so dependent on one phase of their offense.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of the way I feel. Like, this morning I feel like the most flawless team is Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And, boy, Kansas City's the scariest, but their run defense is a little shaky. Tampa Bay special teams are cross your finger. Everybody's got a little something. And Buffalo, it may be a roster issue where they're just a pass rusher away. Just that.
I mean, it kind of feels like chalk to me. I mean, everybody kind of thought Green Bay, Kansas City going back, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's kind of when you're kind of looking to be a contrarian if you're pulling somebody else. Well, they could, they might. But this kind of feels like chalk. Like, this is going to be Kansas City, Green Bay. They're the two most complete teams, all three phases. Matt LaFleur's done an incredible job coaching like a veteran coach, where Andy Reid's the ultimate veteran coach. This kind of feels like Green Bay, Kansas City.
Great stuff. Good seeing you again. Lipscomb Academy High School football coach in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. Trent, appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.